This episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks is brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. The Mason Jar is the official Gamecock bar for the New York City area. Fans and alumni of USC can come by the jar for some great barbecue, cold drinks, and of course, to watch the Gamecocks in any sport, all while surrounded by South Carolina memorabilia. If you want to get a slice of game day in Columbia all while in the Big Apple, head to the Mason Jar on East 30th Street. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 89 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. I am your host, Tim Cox, and I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And how are we? Are we okay, Gamecock family? Are we doing okay? I feel like I need to be on a couch being psychoanalyzed after the trauma that was Saturday afternoon at Williams-Brice. But it's a tough one. You know, I'm recording this a little bit later than I do, so I've had a little bit more time to digest, and it's still not sitting great. It's, you know, to equate it to digesting something bad that you ate, I'm still not quite over it. Going to dive into that in a little bit here. Do want to start off with a weekend review, though, from around USC Athletics. So first off, Friday night, women's volleyball beat Miami 3-2. Way to go, girls. Saturday, men's soccer beat Campbell 1-0. I have no idea what Campbell is. Obviously, it's a school, but good job, guys. 1-0 win there. And then on Saturday as well, women's volleyball lost to Oregon 0-3. So you'll get them next time. Screw the Ducks, but nice win over Miami for the volleyball team on Friday. So that brings us up to speed from around USC Athletics and leaves us with the big, big ol' mess that was Saturday afternoon, South Carolina getting their butts whooped 48-7 against Georgia. And this one stings. I mean, I don't really know where to begin with this one. There's not a lot to be said. You got your butts whooped from the jump almost, right? And I know that Georgia is the number one team in the country. And I talked about before the game, like, I'm not here to kiss anybody's rings, but they are incredible. Like, they are a very, very good team. It does not excuse being blanked for three quarters, though. Period. At home. And you can't fault the hype, and you can't fault the coaching staff and everyone trying to pack the house and everything like that. Like, you absolutely need to, and it shouldn't even be an ask, but it's tough to get up for a game like that, to pack the house. And Shane Beamer said that. I mean, he apologized to the fans, and he owned up to maybe not preparing the team in the right way, maybe not getting them in the right headspace for the right way, but nevertheless, we got to do something here, guys. Like, we have seen bad starts on the road this year. We've seen bad starts on the road last year. And now we see a bad start at home, and the game gets away from us once again. I saw some crazy stat. I'm sure y'all have seen it out there, that South Carolina has opened games, or they've gone four halves over the last season, and now this, without scoring, like, something like six quarters they've been blanked. It's something ridiculous. And I don't care that you might say, like, the scheme is fine, or like, maybe the execution might be off. Like, this is on this staff to figure out what type of athletes do we have and how do we game plan accordingly. Beamer has said since he was hired that he wanted to scheme to the personnel that he has. And this offensive staff, in my opinion, has not done that. Simply has not. I mean, yes, Georgia has an elite defense. We were shut out for three quarters. Like, yes, we scored a touchdown and we scored the first touchdown Georgia has allowed all season, but that was against like their third stringers. And it was at the end of the game. How can we scheme differently? The offensive line can't block worth a damn. Okay, let's accept that. What the heck do we have to do to work around that? Is it more rollouts? Is it jet sweeps? Is it, you know, running with a freaking fullback, extra blocker? I don't know what the answer is, but we cannot keep hitting our heads against the wall. It's the same thing. You know, I mean, last year we saw some questionable decisions. We saw some questionable play calls, bad execution, and you chopped it up to two things. One being a new system, and two, you were banged up. You know, your QB1 was hurt and Luke, and so you're rotating with backups and things like that. We have Spencer frickin' Rattler under quarterback. He looked all out of sorts, throwing off his back foot half the time, being rushed. Couple of run plays. Georgia was in the backfield like at the handoff on third downs, not being able to convert. It's just a really, really tough situation. And again, I'm trying not to take too much from this. I believe it was Brad Crawford who tweeted 90% of the teams in the country with our schedule who would have opened with our same three games, 90% of the teams in the country would be 1-2 right now. I'm not freaking out about the record. I'm not. I saw paths to a very good hot start, but I also knew that there were more paths and a higher likelihood that it might go a little sideways at first. I'm not sweating. I'm not sweating that the sky is falling. I am not doom and gloom on the season. I'm doom and gloom on this performance. Because all signs were indicating in the offseason and, you know, the reports that this was an improved ball club. This was an improved program. And that the offense was going to take a good step forward, yada, yada, yada. Yes, against Arkansas, you put up 30. That's great. Put up 7 points. The starters, this improved offense, supposedly, put up zero. Zero. Spencer Rattler was running for his life. Spencer didn't get the big plays, right? I mean, there's obviously a few thrown in there, but you know what I mean. Dakarrion Joyner comes in for, what was that, one play at the most obscure time? Satterfield just had to check that off the box. I played DK. I don't know. I just truly don't know what the heck that was. So normally on these post-game shows, I do what I like and what I didn't like. So I kind of just gave you my spiel for the overall team. On the offensive side of the ball, what did I like? Not a whole lot. Period. I liked the long throw to Jaheim Bell. That's what I liked. I liked his one catch for 46 yards. That was electric. Where was he the rest of the game? Jalen Brooks had a nice game, you know, 5 catches for 53 yards. But again, there was not a whole heck to write about. It felt like there were a couple of drives where you moved the chains, decent throws, nice run, you know, 4 yards here. And then you'd be in a 3rd-and-2, and then boom, it just got blown up. It felt like that was almost every drive, just getting stalled or hurting ourselves, penalties. You know, we had a couple turnovers on Saturday. All of the things that everyone knows you can't do when you're trying to pull off a massive upset, we did. Penalties and turning the ball over. That was what I liked, which is not a whole lot. What I didn't like, on the offense with just about everything. Yeah. I mean, period. I guess I could say I did like to see Luke Doty getting in there. There we go. I'll give Luke a shout out. I'm a Luke Doty stan, have been since he signed with us. It was cool to see him get out there, cool to see him throw that touchdown pass, and I'm not going to take anything away from that. That was cool, and it's exciting to see Luke get out there. I did not like just about everything else. On the defensive side of the ball, this is the crazy thing with this game. If I'm going to take any positives, like if I have to pick a side of the ball that I liked more, I would say that the defense, and they gave up 48 points. That's where we're at on this. If I have to pick what phase did I like better, I think maybe it was the defense, but I don't really know. What I liked about the defense was in the second quarter, really, we're really kind of narrowing this down here, lowering the bar here. In the second quarter, I felt that they tightened up the screws. Yes, they gave up 10 points, but, you know, in that first quarter, Georgia was scoring at will. They had the ball, they were going to score. It was one of those deals. They scored 14 points easily. But in the second quarter, it felt like we were able to get a couple of stops. It looked like we were able to tackle a little bit better, and you did slow them down, you know? And it felt like for a minute there, if we scored, we could make it a little bit of a ball game, but obviously that was not in the cards with this offense on Saturday. So the one thing I did like from the defense was the second quarter. Yeah. And Nicky Manwari, he's a beast, man. He had 14 tackles. 14. The next highest total was Zach Pickens at 6. More than doubled total tackles. He was all over the place. My heart dropped when he went off to the sideline, looked like he was banged up, but he came back in the game, so I think he should be okay. He's a bright spot. And look, I understand with the defense, too, that we were down 5 starters. You don't have Cam Smith, you know, among other people, R.J. Roderick. So that is going to hurt. And when I heard that news, that was a big uh-oh moment on Saturday, like at 11 o'clock. Panic attack ensued. So you are going to get roughed up a little bit when you are down some key players, good players, starters, veterans. So it was an extra strain. This was a tall task to begin with. And then when you are down several key players, it becomes even taller. And we saw it. You know, we were exposed a little bit with our depth. Depth has been a concern on the defensive side of the ball, particularly in the backfield. And you saw it. So it sucked. It sucked. But what are you going to do? What I didn't like about the defense is you gave up 48 freaking points. There you go. You gave up 48 points. You got bullied again. You got manhandled again. Busted coverages. I mean, that one play, I think it was Brock Bowers. I could be confusing the name here, but it was a tight end streak. Stetson Bennett threw the ball. You know, he saw him in 2 seconds. The ball was out of his hand so quick. Busted coverage. Guy went streaking down the field, touchdown for like 60 yards or something like that. Something crazy. And that you can't have that. I mean, I understand that that could be a symptom of being down a couple of key guys. That's really, really bad communication. And so we have to figure out what's going on, because we got bullied against Arkansas and we got bullied at our place by Georgia. And I understand that these are two top teams. And, you know, I guess I'll speak on that in a little bit, but you still got to find a way. You know, you still got to find a way to fight. You want to be competitive. You want to see these things. We talk a lot about from this team how they fight and how they're in it. There's these intangibles maybe that you feel. And I still agree with that. But you got to find a way to get both sides of the ball, like, more locked in. You know, I understand it was a tough task. Yeah. Also, something I liked, something I loved, how about Kai Kroger and that fake punt? How about that? You could argue it was the best throw of the day. It was like a 20-yard pass. Dime. Shout out Kai Kroger. That was awesome. That was actually so hype. And, you know, that's Shane Beamer being ballsy. That's Shane Beamer being gutsy. I like it. we were in our own territory, but I think Shane saw how the game was trending and was like, we have to try something. We cannot just give them the ball back because they're going to score. So that was cool to see. I mean, special teams play 2 out of 3 games has been lights out. So I'll take it. So look, overall for this game, it hurts. I think Juju McDowell had a really nice quote saying how he soaks in the emotions of a game for, you know, half hour or so. When he takes his shower after the game, you're washing it away. And that's what we have to try and do with this as fans. We have to try being the key word here, to rinse this away. This is a tough opening stretch here, these first 3 games. We're 1-2, yes, but we lost to the number 1 team in the country, and Arkansas at the time was 16. And then they ended up moving up. But those are 2 very hard opening games. And our program right now, outside of a miracle upset, is not vying for a number 1 team in the country right now. It would have been awesome, obviously, but that's just not where we're at right now. And when you look at how the rest of this first half schedule shapes up, next week we have Charlotte at home at night. I'm sure it'll still be a good atmosphere, but obviously less intense. That's a little bit of a breather, a little bit of a reprieve. If a guy, maybe if someone, say like a Cam Smith or a Boogie Huntley is still banged up, if they're not 100%, maybe you can afford to actually sit them against a team like Charlotte. And then after that is SC State. I understand SC State is good in their own right, but again, should be a little bit more of a breather. That one might be a little bit competitive at times, like we saw with the Georgia State game. But in theory, you have 2 weeks where you're at home and you should be able to regroup. And you can say, hey, look, we can get this thing on track. We're still on track. Next 2 weeks, if you go back to back, now you're at 3-2. And now, in that case, you're looking at a Kentucky game, which is crucial. I've been doing some early digging into that game, and Kentucky plays Ole Miss the week before. We play SC State. They have to travel to Ole Miss. That's going to be a physical game, could be a long game. Those guys could be gassed a little bit on that defense. Lane Kiffin running up the score. So I don't want to look around the corner. But as a fan, there is a light at the end of this bad stretch right now. 2 really hard games. At the start of this season, tough way to start 1-2. Really, it stinks. But now you have to look forward and say, okay, a little bit of a breather this Saturday. The following one should be a little bit of a breather as well. And then all of a sudden, you have a winning record, potentially. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, right? But the sky is not falling. This really, really stunk. Like, this was horrible. But there's still a lot of season to have. There is still a lot of season. We're only 3 games in. And I know that it's like, oh, man, like, I could have thought we were maybe going to look a little better. We're only 3 games in, and we have to maintain hope that we can continue to trend in the right way in the games where we should win, and then in these closer games where maybe if it's a touchdown or here, like a, you know, like those real toss-up games, like a Mizzou, that you can take that next step and win those toss-up games. Beating the number 1 team in the country was not necessarily a step this year, right? Would have been miraculous, would have been amazing. It's just not where we're at right now. But I would have hoped we were a little better than 48-7. You know what I mean? Oh, all right. I'll get off my soapbox here. It was a tough one, man. I'm going to wrap this thing up here. Quick recap. The 6-pack of picks went 3-3. I was right on Texas, -12.5. They beat the crap out of UTSA. Oregon smacked BYU. I was on top of that one. And Penn State smacked Auburn. At least we're not Auburn fans, guys. I mean, half those people hate their coach. They just got smacked at home as well. But Auburn's like a festering, like, that dumpster fire is about to ignite. We just had a tough weekend. It's it's not a dumpster fire yet. But yeah, so with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please make sure to follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.